Take your Bibles, if you would, and open to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, and men, if you come with, I've got some handouts for us this evening. It has been a full day already, I know, without much break time. So we will, as I mentioned earlier today, be a little bit brief. Pastor Mike has probably already started his stopwatch to see how close we get to 28 minutes. But, you know, I said 28 minutes. You might say, why 28 and not 30? Well, it's this. The message I'm going to preach this afternoon is a message that I preached before on a Wednesday evening about 5 years ago, back in early 2010. And we have a different group that's there, and oftentimes I'll preach something on Wednesday nights, and people will say, well, you should preach that on a Sunday when others would hear it. And I'm always skittish about doing that, but I thought I would do so today. And when I preached this message last time, it was before a business meeting. So it's online at 28 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, granted, you know, things ebb and flow and whatever, and it's been a lot of years, so I might, not say it exactly the same way. So I have a pretty good idea that we should be able to be in the ballpark, okay? But I want to read here, beginning in Exodus chapter 8, I'm going to read the first 15 verses. This, of course, is the segment of Scripture that talks about the plagues on Israel. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thine bedchamber, and upon thy bed. Okay, there's a graphic picture for you. All right, and upon the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. And the frogs came up, and they covered the land of Egypt. And magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt too. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me, and from my people. And I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. In other words, he's saying, I'll give you the honor of telling me, when shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. Okay, so let's just pause there and get the picture here, right? It's described as there are just frogs everywhere. You know, imagine yourself. You go home, you lay down in your bed, and as you're laying there, there's frogs crawling all over you, jumping on you. As you lift your feet out of bed and you step down, you're stepping on frogs. As you're sitting at your table trying to eat, there are frogs jumping all over. As you're trying to prepare the meal, the frogs are in it, the frogs are out of it. Okay, that's the picture that we have here. There are frogs everywhere. The place is literally crawling with frogs. And Moses says, okay, Pharaoh, when should I get rid of the frogs? What would your answer be? Now, right? Now! I'm done with these frogs. Be rid of them now. Let's look at Pharaoh's answer. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according. Okay, Moses says, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord, because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkeneth not unto them as the Lord had said. You know, I look at that passage and I just see Moses saying, okay, Pharaoh, when would you like to be rid of the frogs? You know, his answer of tomorrow is, you know, at once amazing and amusing and sad all at the same time, because it is such a picturesque example of just how stubborn the human heart can be. About probably 15, 20 years ago, the history teacher in the school where I was principal preached a message on this subject. And, you know, and his title is the title I'll take here today is Another Night with the Frogs. Okay? I don't remember exactly what he preached. I'm guessing it's something akin to what I will preach to you, but that title just stuck with me. And, you know, every time, you know, for the however many years it's been that, you know, 20 years since then, when I read this chapter, that thought pops into my mind, another night with the frogs. You know, that's what, you know, Pharaoh, you know, when should I get rid of the frogs? Well, I'll take one more night with the frogs. Okay? And you know, and I want us to kind of snicker a little bit about that, be amused by that, but have it grab our attention, because I hope will help us to realize the stubbornness of our own hearts. You know, we're not that different from Pharaoh. Different flavor, different culture, different day. He's an unbeliever, we're believers. But the human flesh is the same. There is that same stubbornness. And what we're going to do here today, and I've given you a little chart that just lays out the 10 plagues upon Egypt. And, you know, the left-hand side, there's what the plague is, and the reference, the scripture reference, the scope that has to do with who was affected. And you'll see that the early plagues affected all of Egypt. The water turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, or what some call gnats, affected all of Egypt. And then at that point, after the third plague, God severed the nation Israel and the land of Goshen. And they no longer were hit by the plagues. In the first couple of plagues, Pharaoh's magicians were able to create some sort of a counterfeit. And I don't know to what extent, you know, I don't know how they distinguished all that. But the first two, that was the case. After that, they couldn't. Couldn't do it anymore. And then you see in a number of the plagues, the Scripture gives us specific references where Pharaoh promises to let the people go. He initially relents. He says, okay, you can go. But then there is the right-hand column, and this is really where we're going to focus our attention here this afternoon. This is what we might call the but column. Okay, it's where Pharaoh says, Fine, I can't stand these frogs anymore. I can't stand this lice anymore. I can't stand the boils anymore. I can't stand the locusts anymore. Fine, you go ahead and go, but. And then he tries to put conditions on it. He isn't quite ready to fully yield. And folks, here's the main idea of this message this afternoon. Our hearts are so deceitful and so stubborn and so selfish that even as we are yielding to God, we sometimes continue to resist. In little ways, in subtle ways, in stubborn ways, we just hold a little bit back to our own control rather than saying, God, you take it all. You have it all. And so that's really my only point today, and we're just going to kind of see how that unfolds in these various accounts about the plagues. Folks, what we need is to recognize and be honest about just how sinful our flesh is. So Pharaoh gives us a good example, a good negative example that should serve as a warning to us to not discount the lengths to which we'll go in order to stubbornly hold on to our selfish desires, even when we know we shouldn't, even when we recognize it's pointless to try to resist. Before we jump into this little table, let me just kind of make a little sidebar comment here about Pharaoh's response during these plagues. Assuming my voice is going to make it, this might be a really short message. Okay, but there are about 20 verses in Exodus that talk about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Some of them just say simply, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and it doesn't make a reference to the cause of that. In some of the verses, they speak of Pharaoh stubbornly hardening his own heart. For example, the last verse that we read there, Exodus 8:15, it says, but when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, when there was some relief from the frogs, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them. Some of those 20 verses tell us that God was hardening Pharaoh's heart. For example, Exodus 7:3, God says this. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Exodus 7:13, he, that is God, hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So You know, in it, one of the things that I studied when I first was working through this passage is that little bit of tension that is there where God says, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And then other places it says, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And sometimes it just say, Pharaoh's heart became harder. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And it's kind of a little bit to me like that statement that Joseph makes to his brothers in Genesis 50:20. He says, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You know, some people try to kind of say, well, you know, how can you hold Pharaoh responsible if God was in it all? And they get into this discussion about how does the sovereignty of God mesh with the responsibility of man. And you know, it meshes quite well. Okay? God's involved and Pharaoh's involved. And Pharaoh's motives are stubborn and selfish and fleshly, and he hardens his heart. And God, knowing Pharaoh, he understands how all this is going to unfold. And God, in a sense, hardens Pharaoh's heart. The same activity, both involved and yet entirely different motives. Because what God is going to show is His patience, even with Pharaoh, as he stubbornly resists. There's another opportunity, and there's another opportunity, and there's another opportunity 10 times. And God is going to glorify Himself. Because eventually when they go, you know, and Pharaoh's going to chase after him, God is going to be glorified as Pharaoh and his armies are destroyed. So God has one set of motives behind it, and Pharaoh has another. But through it all, there is Pharaoh, and his heart is becoming harder and harder. So God is using it to illustrate his power and his patience. And Pharaoh is just being a stubborn, hard-hearted guy. And so I think we can, you know, learn some things from this, not only about God's working in things, but about the stubbornness of human flesh, of the human heart. So my intention here is just to take a few minutes here to look at the pattern of Pharaoh's response. So we'll give our attention mostly to that right-hand column on the table that you have in front of you. So let's just start with the frogs, right? The one that we just already read. So Moses says, let my people go. If you don't, I'm going to send frogs. Pharaoh says, I won't let them go. And so God brings the frogs. And Pharaoh finally is overcome by the frogs, and he says in verse 8, I will let thy people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses asks him the question, when? And he says, tomorrow. You know, there's the another night with the frogs. He's just not quite willing to say, enough is enough. I relent. I yield to God right now. He says, I'll yield to God tomorrow. And of course, in the end, when the frogs go away, Pharaoh, as is his pattern, changes his mind. Now, let's go on to the plague number 4, the plague of the flies. Let me read Exodus 8, starting in verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let them go, behold, I'll send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians, they shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. In other words, you're going to see that this is not just some common catastrophe, because just right over there in Goshen, everything's going to be fine. But as soon as you step from Goshen into the places inhabited by the Egyptians, there's going to be these swarms of flies. You'll be able to see it, Pharaoh. Verse 24, and the Lord did so. And there came the grievous swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reasons of the swarms of flies. I could spend a lot of time more graphically describing these events, but this one hits home to me. I grew up in western Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. And with the land of 10,000 lakes comes the land of 10 zillion lake flies and mosquitoes. Okay, and in those parts, a lot of times we have on our old green van this little bug deflector thing. It's just kind of a little plastic thing on the front of the hood that tries to get the air to go up over. And the primary reason for that is so that you don't kill 8,000 flies on your hood every time you drive a few miles down the road. But any of you who have traveled or resided in those parts, there are certain areas when you drive and you're just plastered. You know, you go out in the evenings, right? And you have gnats in your teeth and in your ears. And I mean, it's just thick with them. You know, it's literally just, you're just kind of swimming through them. One of the perils of playing golf in the evenings was there came that point when all of a sudden the bugs came out and it was miserable. Okay, and it was miserable there in Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and he said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." In other words, go sacrifice, but do it here in the land, not in the wilderness. Excuse me. Verse 26. And Moses said, "It is not meet to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Israelite of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice before their eyes. Won't they stone us?" No, Moses says in verse 27, "We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He has commanded us." And the original command was this, or the original request, or whatever you want to call it, Exodus 5:1. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So Pharaoh knew what they wanted to do, but he says, "You know what, I'll let you go, but just stay here locally, right? Don't go too far." Verse 28, Pharaoh said, "I'll let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness." So he says, "Okay, you don't want to stay in the land. I'll let you go into the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses does that, and the flies stop. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, verse 32 says, neither would he let the people go. So here he says, okay, you can go, but don't go very far. Then we come to the hail, plague number 7. Take a look at chapter 9, and let's start in verse 22. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent. He called for Moses and Aaron, and he said to them, I have sinned this time." Sin the other times too, Pharaoh. But he says, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer." And Moses said unto him, "As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord." And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up yet. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Okay, so that's what happens with the hail and the thunder. Let's go to the locusts. Chapter 10, verse 3. Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh. They said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord God, wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve thee. Else if thou refuse to let them go, behold, tomorrow I will bring forth the locusts into thy coast." And you can envision that one in your own mind. "And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue, whatever is left that wasn't already destroyed, that which is escaped with which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field." Verse 7. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, "How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let them go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Moses and Aaron brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, "Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go?" So who's going to go? And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. In other words, he says, yeah, indeed, the Lord would be with you if I ever let all of you go, you and your little ones. Verse 11, not so. Now ye that are men, go and serve the Lord, for that ye desire. And they were driven from Pharaoh's presence. So what does he say? He says, you know what? I'll let the men go, but I'm keeping the ladies behind. I'm keeping the little ones behind, because that way I can be sure that you're going to come back. So he says, I'll let you go, but not all of you. Go now, ye that are men. Let's move on to the next plague, the darkness. Exodus 10:21. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. And there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So in Egypt, they didn't even have light in their dwellings. They couldn't keep the candles lit. They couldn't stay able to see. And so Pharaoh eventually relents. And he says, okay, verse 24. Go ye, serve the Lord. Take your little ones with you. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. And Moses says, well, we're going to need them to sacrifice. But here we have Pharaoh. He says, okay, fine, I'll let you go. You want to take your wives, you want to take your children, they can go with you, but you've got to leave your flocks behind. And Moses says, no, that's not going to work. And Pharaoh gets upset and he says, you know, depart from me. The next time you see me, you shall die. Verse 29 of chapter 10, Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Of course, we follow that then in chapter 11 with the plague upon the firstborn of all Egypt. And God brings the death angel. And take a look at chapter 12 and verse 29. It says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels and silver, jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they, that is Israel, spoiled the Egyptians. But there's one more but to come, isn't there? We see that over in chapter 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea. And we know well what happened after that, right? God puts his pillar of fire in front of Pharaoh, halts them while Israel goes across, passes through as God parts the Red Sea. Pharaoh pursues after them, and God destroys Pharaoh and his chariots. So let me just say, summarize, you know, what's my point in all of this? You know, it's more than just to kind of recap or summarize the plagues against Israel. But it is, you see this progression. You know, it starts out and Pharaoh begins to relent. He begins to feel the pressure. He begins to sense that, you know what, this God that Moses and Aaron are talking about, he really is God. And so he initially relents a little bit with the frogs. You know, he says, well, I can hang on, though, for another night. And then with the flies, he says, well, I'll let you go, but stay in the land. And Moses says, can't stay in the land. We've got to go to the wilderness. He says, okay, but if you go in the wilderness, don't go too far. And then comes the locust, plague number 8. And he says, okay, I'll let you go. Who's going to go? Moses says, well, all of us are going to go. And Pharaoh says, I'll let the men go, but not the women and children. After the plague of thick darkness, Pharaoh calls for Moses. He says, okay, I'll let you and the women and the children go, but leave your cattle, leave your livestock behind. And finally, after the death of the firstborn, he says, fine, go. You, your wives, your children, all of you, your flocks, your cattle, we'll give you stuff to take with you, whatever you need, just go. And even then, once they leave, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he pursues after him again. And we look at that, folks, and we say, how could Pharaoh be so stupid? It's not that he's stupid. It's that he's stubborn. And the flesh of Pharaoh is the same kind of stubborn flesh that we have. Now, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you have the Spirit of God indwelling you. You have the grace of God. You have the empowering of God to have victory over that flesh. But the fact is, we need to be honest about the fact that even we may be a little more refined. The stakes may be a little bit different. But you know, most of us can think of situations where God has convicted us about something. And we have said, you're right, Lord. That needs to change. And we say, okay, I'll make that change. Except this. I'm just going to hold back this one little thing. You know? And God convicts you again about that thing. And maybe you say, well, okay, God, you're right. You're right, God. That is wrong, and that's wicked, and it needs to change. And so I'm going to submit now, except for this. Just one more small little thing that I'm going to hold back. And that is the nature of our flesh, folks, is to just want to stubbornly maintain some sense of control. To stubbornly cling to some selfish desires, even in the midst where, on the whole, we may be acknowledging and relenting and saying, yes, God, I see what you're saying. You're right. It needs to change. And the lesson for us folks is we need to give it all to God. You know, we need to just let go. We need to say, you know what? When God shows me something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right away. I'm not going to say another night with the frogs. I'm going to do it entirely. I'm not going to say, well, okay, the men, but not the women, but not the children, but not the livestock, but not just for a short time. I'm going to say, you know what, God, this is the change you desire in my life. And I'm going to do it wholly. And I'm going to do it fully by your grace. Would you help me to that end? And like so many things, and maybe I sound like a broken record to you, but I think so much of Christian growth and so much of living the Christian life is being honest about who this guy is and about who you are. And not kidding yourself into thinking that, you know, you have a pretty cleaned up flesh and that, you know, you don't have these kinds of struggles. We have different flavors, different circumstances, different specifics. But, you know, the Christian life is one where the flesh is warring against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And we got to be honest about the tension that is there. And honestly go to God and say, God, I desperately need your help because I'm losing this battle. Because I'm holding back in this area. I want to release it, and yet there's something about it that I just rationalize and I make my excuses. Folks, we need to be honest. Honest before the Lord. He knows already. It's not that we keep anything from Him. And we just need to put ourselves on the altar, as it were, and say, God, you take what you need. You do what you want. You change what needs to be changed. And I'm going to let it go. Those things that I'm so eager to want to hold on to or hold back. I've tried to present this in a little bit of a lighthearted way, but the key to our obedience, you know, is realizing that our flesh always wants to hold something back, even something little. But something. And we've got to make the choice You know, which is it going to be? Is it going to be true submission to God and His Word? Is it going to be complete yielding to God and His Word? Or is it going to be another night with the frogs? Let me ask you to stand to your feet.